Well, good morning once again, and welcome our online audience. This is a time to get your Bible. Paul Harmon here. We're here in Huntington Beach, and specifically in the chapel of Hope Chapel, so we're glad that you're here. It is that time to gather around the Bible. It's kind of like as we prep for Thanksgiving, you want a good meal, and then you say, oh, dear Lord, we want a good meal, right? Yeah, we want the bread of life to come and allow us to experience some things that will literally transform our way of thinking and thought. So it's important for us, is it not? So let's make sure we get our Bibles and also the bulletins so you can take notes. Now, it's interesting this morning as I was coming on in, I thought, you know, I might always have a young audience here, and you look very young, by the way. But when I go next door to the Kids Cove, they'll say, well, Pastor Paul, what's the joke you got for us? So I have one for our age group. Is that right? All of you. Here we go. What's the best way to handle a blue whale? Tell it a joke to cheer it up. That's it. Uh-huh. Went right over your head, did it not? Uh-huh. I could see that. Yeah. I heard another one about this blonde lady. Yeah. Just want to see if you're listening now. That's going to set us back a couple of decibels, that's for sure. And so this woman was out there cutting the weeds in her backyard with a weed eater and did not see the neighbor's cat and whacked off its tail. Picked up the cat, grabbed the tail, and ran off in her vehicle to the Walmart. Clerk says, ma'am, what's going on? Can I help you? She says, I'm here to bring my neighbor's cat because I hear that you are the largest retailer in the nation. All right, there's two. Let's just get to the message, Pastor Paul. Good, let's do that. Well, Father, thank you for opening our hearts as we open the Word today. If we do see anything, Lord, it's really because your divine appointment. It's not an accident. We're here today, gathered in the name of Jesus and around the Word of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. As you know, we've been in a series for 6 weeks. This will conclude that series, but today is the final element of Bible Never Said. Bible Never Said. Phrases or thoughts that people just assume are in the Bible, and that people, because of the way they think, their perspective of God, it really does affect the relationship with God. That's why it's important. It's not just, oh, yeah, I'm glad it's... But it's amazing how we think things about God that he really never said in his word. And today's message is another one of those thoughts or phrases. Today it's entitled, Bible Never Said God Will Prevent Bad Things from Happening to Good People. Bible never said that. We're going to be dealing with this in a matter of a few, I believe, some foundational truths. Now, we've all of us on this planet, Earth, have asked that universal question to God, God, why? God, why all this pain? God, why am I going through this difficulty? Why did you not put my marriage together? Why, oh Lord, am I suffering such loss? Why, Lord, are you permitting this complete poor health in my loved one? Lord, why are you allowing so much, really, evil people to have such great influence in our society? Now, that is something that's universal with regards to every person will ask God why. And these are questions that become even more difficult when we have a poor perspective about God. And this line is basically one of them, that somehow we think that God will prevent bad things from happening to good people. It's important for us to recognize because it becomes harder in our relationship with the Lord when bad things happen in regards to just being on this planet. It affects things in regards to areas, for example, even our faith. when our faith, we know, can move mountains, but the Bible doesn't really say it's going to remove pain, and we come across pain often. Our bodies themselves are susceptible to pain. There could be those areas where people think, if I pray enough, if I read the Bible enough, that God will cause me to be exempt from the hardship and suffering on this planet. I'm doing all I can, praying and Bible reading. Why am I going through this at this time? God never said that our lives would be void of hardship. And it's important for us to recognize that. I am a person that loves the Word of God. I believe in hanging on to a promise. I've seen and experienced great miracles. So, but we're dealing with that mindset when we're asking God, why am I going through such hardship and suffering? I thought I was exempt from that. Unless we understand that, how that pain and suffering and areas of hardship, from God's perspective, if we don't know that, we're going to really have some challenges in our relationship with God. And He's all about having a relationship with you. It's all about having a relationship with you. And this could be one of those barricades. How? When bad things happen to individuals and they're very confident they've been a good person, that somehow we feel that God has let us down, or that He's unloving, or that He's uncaring, or worse yet, that God can't be trusted. So I'm just going to go back to my old ways because it just doesn't pay to really hang in there and live for God. It can affect us because all of a sudden we feel enormous guilt. I've seen that in Christians. They don't understand God. They haven't even expressed in a relationship with the Lord, but the enormous guilt because, see, bad things only happen when God is punishing you. That's wrong. And therefore, we just come across that feeling and say, well, maybe God's abandoned me. You have to be careful about that. We can tell you many people, in some ways, all of a sudden their faith is just destroyed when things happen, and stuff will. We're going to see Jesus declares things will happen. But I want you to know, especially with our young Christians and those 29 students that gave their lives to Jesus on Wednesday, what's going to happen is what's always happened to all of us. There's a lot of emotion in Christianity. That's what I love about it. Man, our worship's on point. I love it. And we get excited because there's excitement when somebody experiences a truth or a breakthrough or a miracle. The excitement goes 110%, like if you had a little graph. And then because faith grows, right? So you have another little graph line over here. Faith grows because it hears the word of God. So you have the excitement graph. You have the spiritual faith element growing. And then all of a sudden, bad things happen to somebody. And what happens to the emotional high? It plummets. And it goes past and beyond, down beyond the faith line. And I find right in this area, when there's no longer an excitement to live for Jesus, there's no happiness anymore, we're just faithing it out, is that's usually where the young Christian checks out and says, I'm done. I am not happy anymore. So we have to learn to walk by faith, 2 Corinthians 5:8, not by sight, but it is important for us to be careful. Now, I can tell you, many people feel like when I receive Jesus, I've got this free pass from pain, hardship, and suffering. Well, that's partially true. The free pass comes from your own self. You are no longer damaging your own life by things we used to permit and do. So that's the free pass. Glory to God. Do I get a witness? Yeah, so that agenda is settled. But you hang out with other people that don't love Jesus like you, you're going to have some rough edges coming in your direction. So everything we've endured these past 20 months, I believe, has been a precursor, because it's not over yet. So it's going to be important for you and me to be able to endure what's coming on in the future. So how do we go about doing that? First point, Jesus promised hardship in this life. Now, this is not one of my favorite messages. I know. I want to preach faith and power and let's have breakthrough, and I believe this one will. But let's just knock off some of the edges. Jesus promised hardship in this life. And we can expect living in this life, and he says this is what you need to be aware of. It'll clear up the misapplication of what we think God will provide for us. Let's look. I'm in John chapter 16, verse 33. John 16, 33. I have told you, Jesus says, all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. Now, where are we? On earth. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. Now, that's important for us. On this earth, you and he's talking to followers of his. Now, Jesus explains that many trials and sorrows are going to come. And it has nothing to do with being good enough to be exempt from hardship. Now, I see that, and I know you do too. It's important for us because we live in a broken world surrounded by broken people, and they are going to give you the hardship and the sorrow. How many have ever been hurt by somebody? Or how about, have any of you ever hurt somebody? And it's like, So you can see there can be hardship and sorrow just by reason of hanging out with people. In these past 20 months, we've experienced many trials and sorrows. Jesus said in John 16, 33, you will have many trials and sorrows. We've experienced some unusual loss, emotional pain, tremendous challenges these last 20 months. We've experienced the areas of health issues, relational pain, the tension going on, and the unrest in society. These things are happening, and the loss of freedom is coming on in. Now, we've had it pretty good prior to the last 20 months. So it's important for us to take a look at that and understand that. And we've been experiencing pain in California. Fires going on, drought that's happening, that's just in our state. So it's important for us to see here, the peace that Jesus refers to in the scripture is a peace that we find in him. So it's going to be important as you pray. I know we want to have peace on earth, peace in our nation, but it is important. That's like, Lord, I want your peace. He's saying, in me, you'll have peace. In me, you'll have peace. It's important for us. It's a sure bet you will have peace in Jesus. I love that. So if things are raging on this planet, you can have this wonderful peace within you that reigns in your heart. Things outside will rage. You could pray, bring peace on the planet so that I can have peace, or you can let the peace of Jesus reign in your heart. It's important. That's what he says. In me, you're going to have peace. The real issue then is not pursuing peace on the planet. It really is. The issue is pursuing Jesus. Get closer to him. Get closer to him. What if things are pulled from you? What if you don't have a bank account anymore? Where will you go? It's important that you get a chance. Stop avoiding Jesus. Stop avoiding Jesus. Quit playing. If it fits into my schedule, I'll come to God. You ask Jesus for that peace he promised. Jesus, you promised me peace. You promised me peace. And I'm asking, you bring that. He'll bring it. So let me just put a couple of things out there. What do you do? How do you handle that? On your notes, you can see their bullet point. Remember that Jesus is with you in hardship. Just remember that. Jesus is with you in the hardship. Just because you're going through a hard time today does not mean he has vacated. He's there with you. It's important for him. Hardship is really can be an issue to really sensitize, like, Lord, I know you're with me. It's important. Second bullet point, you can see that pray. that he would help you walk through the hardship. When those things happen, just pray that. How about the old Psalm 23? That's a known chapter. That person's just walking through the valley of the shadow of death. That's important. Remember those things. Lord, I want you to help me walk through this. He will. He'll be there. It's important. Many times I hear people's prayer, and there's nothing wrong with that. They're praying to remove the hardship. Just get it out of my life. But Lord, help me to walk through this one. Glory to God. Glory to God. And the third, ask for his promised peace. Mention that, but you might forget that. His peace is associated not with the removal of the pain. It's an amazing miracle. Ooh, it's an amazing miracle. That is a gift for Christians. Same with joy, same with love and peace. It's a miracle when it happens. So for you and I to start to experience peace when nothing changes, that's a bona fide miracle. It's a wonderful thing, and he promises that. Well, there's several other vital truths we want to tap into. Number two, let's check it out. God uses hardship to grow us. We're looking at just that pain and suffering and hardship on this planet from God's perspective. That's what we're looking at here. Let's look at James chapter 1, verse 2. James 1, verse 2. Dear brothers and sisters, so we're talking to Christians here. When troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. Check it out. So go for it. Let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. When we take a look here, the essential that we understand the qualities that God is working in his men and in his women, his children that he loves. It's interesting when Bible writers use the word perfect. See that? Let it develop fully that you will be perfect, complete. I like the NIV says, lacking no good thing. God's going to give you everything. It's going to come, everything. You're not going to lack a thing. So we see here that word perfect doesn't mean like sinless person, doesn't even mean like perfect like God is. It uses the word in the Bible, you're mature, that you may be mature. How does that come? Man, sometimes those things that kick us to the curb, but we endure. That spiritual endurement is so important for us. Our faith cannot get blown out of the water every time an issue arises. As a pastor over the years, you see that it's like, where is that person? They hit the wall again, Pastor Paul. I don't think we'll see them for a while. Oh, are you kidding me? They were letting this trial affect them. So you can see, let it grow. I believe God has been toughening up his church the last 20 months. I really believe that. We've been experiencing some things, and you and I just need to sit together and say, what is God doing on our planet? Because I live here. So all over the whole world, there's a toughening that's coming. We've had it easy so long, for so long. But God's wanting us to have our spiritual endurance. Literally, it says, let it grow. Let it grow. Because you'll be mature. Don't bail. Don't stop. Check out how your spiritual life and vitality is. Are you letting that spiritual endurance grow in the way that God intends? How? Well, you may want to write this down. I've often just say, first of all, stop resisting. Stop resisting. Lord, what are you doing in my life currently? What do I mean by stop resisting? Well, oftentimes people react with the flesh. They just react to things. And how does that look? Well, they grumble and complain. They get upset and they really gossip. It's like, I don't like these things, and I'm just going to tell everybody their divisiveness. They have bad attitudes. They're resisting God. Lord, what are you doing? I can settle on in here. That's important for us to recognize that. Have you ever seen a three-year-old throw a temper tantrum? There's some adults out there on social media. Check it out. Huh? It's true. That's exactly how people are resisting God. They're just letting it flow out there in social media. The other one is just write it down. Start submitting. Lord, what is it and how is it that you want this spiritual test in my life to go? What are you doing? I want to cooperate. I want to help people. That's important. Lord, I don't like it one bit, but I know you're with me. I've checked my own spiritual barometer between you and me, but what is going on here? That's important. Let's move on. Number three, hardship can be God's will. Now, many times you have to determine that, but Scripture says it really can be God's will. Let's take a look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through as if something strange were happening to you. Don't think it a strange thing. Like, why this hardship and suffering? This should not be the case. It's unusual. It's wrong. Why me, God? Why? So Scripture says, be careful about that. Again, what's going on our planet, Lord? What's happening? Will we ever get back to what it was like when I was in grade school? We tell our children what it was like when I was growing up. It's like, what? So when we take a look here, it's important for us. Some Christians might retreat from everything, shelter on in, avoid all issues until the authorities come and get them. That's not good. So it's important here, we go to chapter 4 again, verse 19, same 1 Peter 4:19. Follow along with me. So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Yeah, some suffering, I don't like that. Lord, it's not that he creates suffering. He may just allow it, wanting to see what's going on. Lord, I'm suffering here. Is this your will for me to go through this? What is going on here? Do we have that enough faith to kind of work through all that pain? It's so important. And I am all for, we need to keep praying for divine healing for people. We need to even pray that the pain and suffering go away. We need to pray that right authority with good ethics, good character get elected. Those are important things that we need to do. We need to pray against the activity of the realm of darkness. Come against that. We don't do those things. Some of that, God could be waking up and say, well, you're getting what you really kind of might want. I don't want that stuff. I want God's victory. We need to pray in that area. So there's a fine balance. And I'm telling you, God promises victory. He really promises victory. Spiritual endurance is so important. So God allows hardship to continue, maybe to basically come along to where we allow elements of our maturity to take place. Look at, we're here in church today. You're here in church today, probably because like maybe God's going to show me something I might need to hear. Now, just because God's allowing hardship doesn't mean he created it. Doesn't mean he's the author behind that. We might think he's mean or vengeful or sadistic. Be careful about all that stuff. That's not his nature. He's a life giver. It's important. The world will create enough hardship all by itself. God doesn't have to create any of that. He just kind of like stands back and says, let's wait till they call on me. It's all, man, if it wasn't for God, where would we be? We're all one air bubble away from meeting him. So it's important that we take a look at that. Thank you, Lord. Transformation of our lives. What do? Commit ourselves to Him. Commit ourselves to Him. Let me just say, just as you take a look at that verse 19 of 1 Peter 4, you may want to just highlight that first. Commit yourself to God. It's what it says. Hey, if you're going through some suffering and God's in it, commit yourself to God. Don't hold back. Go for it. Hang in there. The assurance that you have of your future in heaven is so important to recognize that. Man, I'm sold out, God, to you. This is not really where I'm going to linger all the days of my life. I know we want to have an investment for retirement, but I am sold out and invested in heaven. How can I be there, and what ways can I be in part of that? More loyal to the eternal kingdom than this earthly kingdom. That's what Peter's talking about. Commit yourself to God. Another one, remember that? He says there in verse 19, continue to do good. Continue to do good. It's important for us. If you're suffering and God's just somehow slow to respond, keep doing good. Keep going at it. Keep hanging there. Jesus is right there in the midst. Continue to do good however you know to do it. Don't pull back. Hang in there. They'll get a breakthrough. You'll get a breakthrough. So how do we go through suffering if somehow you find, man, maybe God's allowing this for this season? Here it is. Finally, number four, hardship requires perseverance in God's will. Hardship requires perseverance. Do not cut and run. Hang in there. Check it out what Hebrews chapter 10 says here in verse 32. Hebrews 10, 32 to 36 says, remember those early days after you had received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property, because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to preserve, persevere, hang in there, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. Now notice here in our text, notice the hardship that these followers have endured. Check that out. If you look here for a moment, man, public insults, persecution, that was even before Facebook came on the scene. They had issues in there. You look there and it said they stood side by side with those that are being mistreated, being arrested, being imprisoned, and they joyfully allowed their property to be confiscated. You read that and you say, man, that poor first century Christians, they really got knocked left and right. But the Bible is so relevant in every season when shadows of darkness start to come in. It's important preserving what God's will is in the midst of that. And who knows? Who knows? Maybe it's easy for us to do good and hang in there for God for a day. Some can handle it for a week. How about a month or a year? When things are hard, can we still be hanging in there and doing good for God? Man, there are some great Christians in other nations. They know what it means to persevere through hard times. Incredible, incredible. But our Western culture, we've had it, again, so easy, so easy. Well, as I welcome our worship team up, I just want to remind us, I have something called PUCK. It's an acronym. It's pain and uncertainty and chaos, PUCK. So when you take a look at that element of pucky, many know that term. You don't use that term anymore, do you? Or bull pucky, yeah? PUCK, pain, uncertainty, and chaos. Those are areas that are happening in our lives. It's all around us. We thank God we may not be experiencing that. But how do you handle puck when pain and uncertainty and chaos ensue? I put three little bullet points there on your notes. We get through the pain with prayer. Well, I'm telling you, do not run from God. Pray it out. Get into prayer. If you have a hard time praying by yourself, get with others in our morning chapel prayer. Amen. Right here at 8 o'clock. Experience that. God will bring revelation to you about things. And we could see some of the greatest breakthroughs. If you don't have a work assignment, you don't need to go to work, man, let that be the part of your day that you can say, I'm going to start my day by prayer because there's pain in our world and I'm going to pray. Second bullet point, we get through the uncertainty with understanding. Uncertainty with understanding. That's really the timelessness of God's word. Can you imagine going through life and not really knowing what the word of God says about your situation? We need to work through the uncertainty. What is God doing? Who am I? Where are we going? What's happening? Let's get the word of God there with certainty. And then we get through the chaos with community. We get through the chaos with community. Friends, it's going to be a time that if you don't have a faith family, you're going to find that people are going to crumble pretty quickly. There's nobody to say, hang in there, friend. Don't do it. Hang in there, friend. Stop. Follow Jesus with us. Follow Jesus with us. You get through the chaos with community. You don't have a community. You do now, but there are some that are out there because they hit a wall and it was not good for them. They did not like it. They had a perception that I was good at one time and then bad stuff happened. I thought God was going to protect me and preserve me, prevent bad things from happening to me. Well, he's given us victory as a personal level. Glory to God, right? Oh, I love that. But we hang out with people that don't love Jesus like you. Maybe some of those people are causing you problems. I think it'd be a good time right now as we get into a worship song. I want to welcome our prayer wall personnel. Would you be prepared to come forward during this song? Let's be prepared right now. Let's stand to our feet. All of us stand, shall we? And let's come on down. Our prayer wall, get yourself stationed. Let's let people know. There could be that area where we just pray through a victory. God showed you something. That's so important. If you are with us on live stream, I want to thank God for you. And you go ahead and put in your prayer request or praise report. Let us know what you're facing and experiencing. Don't go it alone. God knows, and we want to be there and available to help you as well. But the Lord is here. Let's let him move right now. Let's turn our hearts toward him. Let's experience and give him credit for what he's about to do. Let's worship him. Take this song now. If you're needing prayer, you just come right out down the center and find somebody right here that's up here and receive prayer. If I have a life group leader, I may need some of you to help pray. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.